All right, here we go, Tom. Oopsie.
Sorry. Wow. Can I start over again? I'm sorry. John, can I start over again? Sorry about that, Sherry. That was
it's okay. I get it. It's going to happen.
It's like reflex.
It's going to happen.
Oh, new music.
Got that.
Here we go. It's the show with a crappy name. What's the name again?
The John Curley and Sherry Show.
Just your one name on you.
Yeah, you know.
You like that?
I'm sure. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
What is your last name?
Elliker.
Huh?
Elliker.
Never mind. Diving in the day! That's a made-up name.
Mine isn't a made-up name.
You need one, because Elliker's not good for radio.
Well, it's worked for a couple of years now. I have a married name, too. That's my maiden name.
Ah, there we go. Yeah. Right. Hornschnickel? No. All right, Hornschnickel. Let's get started. You can write to us at MyNorthWest.com. You can also text coming in the 1-888-973-5476. All are welcome. A Michigan school shooting prosecutor suggests she will charge the parents as well. This kid, at first, my take on this, and we have sound on this and everything, I thought the kid was specifically going after people because it looked like you look at him and you're like, okay, that kid got bullied. And the person that got shot, one of them in particular, was a football player.
Right.
But we find out later on that's a football player that charged after the shooter. Shooter goes into the bathroom, got a backpack. They've got video of this, comes out of the bathroom and now has this gun, 9mm that he'd gotten from his home. His dad had just purchased the gun, I think.
Black Friday.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's got the gun. He even put it up on his Instagram page, look what I've got or something.
Here's a beauty or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then he goes into the school. I think he'd put it up just 24 hours earlier, right?
Yeah. And keep in mind, the parents had been at the school at 10 o'clock in the morning for a conference because a couple of teachers had noticed that he had some weird behavior.
Yeah.
And they called them in and said, you know, we're concerned about him because he's acting strangely. And then he went into the bathroom, came out with a gun, and then methodically, shot. He killed four people and injured seven more.
The 15-year-old accused of killing four and injuring others at Oxford High School is now charged as an adult.
I will enter a plea of not guilty on his behalf.
Both the suspect and his parents appearing in court virtually. He faces 24 charges, including terrorism causing death and 4 counts of first-degree murder.
In terms of the premeditation required for a first-degree murder charge, this just wasn't even a close call, unfortunately. This was deliberate. This was planned well in advance and disturbingly so.
Investigators say they discovered troubling videos on the suspect's cell phone from the night before the deadly incident. While they did not give specifics,
he talked about shooting and killing students the next day at Oxford High School.
The Oakland County Sheriff says the suspect had meetings with school officials the day before and the day of the shooting for concerning behavior and another undisclosed issue.
In fact, the parents were brought in the morning of the shooting and had a face-to-face meeting with the school. We did not learn of that meeting, nor of the content of that meeting until after the shooting.
Videos posted on social media showing the chaos and terror happening as some students and teachers barricaded and evacuated their classrooms.
I heard screams come from the hallway and the first gunshot happened and my teacher, he walked into the classroom, he locked the door, he told us to call 911. And then we heard the rest of the gunshots go off, more screams.
While Oxford High is blocked off with yellow police tape as authorities continue their investigation, outside the school, a memorial is growing, a small way to remember and honor the 4 teenagers who died in the tragedy.
Did you see the video? This is the Michigan school shooter that apparently they were concerned. So this is the crazy thing about kids. I guess this is what... While this is going on, the shooting is going on, some kid is rolling video on it. They got it on their phone. So they're all in the classroom, and there's a knock at the door. Wait, hold on. They're quiet. They're in the room.
Sheriff's office! Yeah, we're here.
No. Yeah, bro.
He said, no.
He said bro. Red flag.
So they don't believe it's the sheriff. And then they all go running out the side door. And even though they're scared to death, they're still videotaping the entire thing as they run out. It's just weird. And there they all go. They're all heading out the side, going out the door. They're afraid. They think the person coming through the door is not the sheriff.
Sure. They think it could be the shooter. But that's the world we live in terms of it's everything's on video, right? I mean, that's what they do. They document everything as kids. So this all got documented. I also read where, you know, a lot of them were arming themselves. They found scissors and things like that, that they were going to try to defend themselves.
Right. That's the nonsense. They've been pushing that for a while now. You know, get ready to throw a book at the person as they come in the door, right, and stay there and defend themselves. Because people said, well, that's one of the story was arm the teacher. And don't know which teacher is armed. Teach them how to do this. There are some states that allow them to do this. And then other, no, that's not fair. We don't want guns. Teach the kids that they can throw pencils and books at the person coming in with the gun, right? This happens every once in a while. You always wonder what the red flags are. Apparently, they were on top of it, at least enough that they brought the parents in to see the kid had started to behave strangely.
Yeah. And what do you think, John, about this concept of the parents being charged? This is very rare. There have been very few cases where the parents have been charged with anything in all of these cases. And keep in mind how many school shootings there have been. And the overwhelming majority of them are with guns that kids get from their homes. And what they're saying here is that if we can start to make parents feel accountable for gun safety, that maybe it might make them think twice about at least locking up the gun. That's about all they can really charge them with. There was one case where a guy was charged with manslaughter because he kept a gun in a shoebox, and his six-year-old grabbed the gun, took it to school, I guess, and killed another kindergartner or first grader. And so he was charged with manslaughter and did about 29 months or something like that. But that doesn't happen very often. So as somebody who is a gun owner, do you think that there is reason for parents to be held culpable for this when they don't have the guns locked up? I mean, I don't think they should be responsible for the
carnage. Michigan does not have that law.
Right.
You don't have to lock it up in Michigan.
Yes.
You do have to lock it up here in the state of Washington. Obviously, when my kids were little and we had a handgun, the gun was in this special safe. You put your thumb on the button and then the thing opens up.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, because Lace and I are technically disinclined to understand any of that stuff, once we stuck it in there, we never bothered to figure out how to get it open. So, and we never read the instructions, which, by the way, were inside the safe. So in the safe was the gun, the instructions on how to get the safe open. And that's about it. Mm-hmm. And now if you ever wanted to protect yourself with that gun, you have to pick up the heavy safe and throw it at the person.
and hope
the bullet comes out from some part, a side of the safe. I understand there is a responsibility as an adult to make sure that a deadly weapon like that can be kept from the kids. And they're going to charge the parents, even though it's not a law. Apparently, they're going to find them somehow involved with this, right? Yeah. It makes sense. And you just want to be a responsible gun owner. Most of my friends that own guns, they're extremely responsible. They've got gigantic gun safes and things like that. And they are really careful about how they move them, where they are. And you just know, you don't leave them with your kid. You don't put them anywhere near your kid, right? And I always tell my son when he goes and stays in my cabin, I said, Rye, treat all guns as if they're loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Locked and loaded. Every single gun. So if your friend comes over and they're staying at the cabin, decides to pick up one of the guns, you let them know, even though the safety's on all of them, that that is a loaded gun. Even if it's not, assume it's a loaded gun. So in this case, I mean, the parents, you know, it's so odd. Imagine how the human being responds to photos. I see the kid and I'm like, he's got glasses on. So I'm like, he's probably got bullied, got beaten up and stuff. Not that that's justifiable to shoot anybody, but that constant bullying of something, especially now over the internet. Again, not justifying it, but you can understand why somebody gets to a breaking point. Bullying, like domestic violence, has the same thing where it wears on you. Every single day you're going to go into school and every single day you know you're going to be picked on by people, right? Either on the bus or at home. And now that they can pick on you over the internet, you eventually just build up so much anger that and of course your brain, like we talked about one time, is not connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until you're about 25, 26 years old. And you're not thinking you're going to shoot these people.
Right. And remember how small their world is. So bullying, you know, when that's happening, that's all they've got. They don't have the life experience and they don't have other things going on where they can go to a job and do all these other things. That's their whole world.
Mm.
And so when a kid is bullied like that and it's relentless, they do reach a breaking point. But
did you get bullied?
No, never got bullied. And I don't remember any, this is going to sound very Pollyanna-ish, but I don't remember any bullying all through school. I don't remember anybody really being bullied. Yeah, not in high school, not at all. You know, I don't, were you bullied?
Ugh.
Really?
Ugh.
Or were you the bully?
I was the bully. No, I was bullied up until when I failed fourth grade a second time. Then I was bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Because just physically, just age-wise, I was almost 16 when I was in eighth grade.
Mm.
I drove to school when I was in eighth grade. You don't fight any other eighth grader for a parking spot when you pull on up in your 70 Ford Pinto. I remember this kid, I got out of the car, the kid's like, aren't you like an eighth grader? I'm like, yeah, I'm an eighth grader. I can grow a beard. Get back. I'm like, how did you get the chance to drive? Fail fourth grade twice. Going in. My dyslexia. Well, I remember being in fourth grade the first time, and they sent me back to first grade for reading. I made a big mistake. I'm sitting in class, and okay, we're going to start reading class or whatever. And I get up and I walk out. And as I'm walking out, this kid goes, "Hey, where are you going? Why didn't you take reading class?" I said, "And this is the mistake I made. I'm such a good reader, I don't have to take this class."
Okay.
So that kind of worked for about 2-3 days, mm-hmm. and then this one kid decides he's going to follow me. So he follows me, and I don't know he's following me, and I go down the hall, and now I'm in second grade for reading. So I'm sitting in this second grade class, and my knees are up, pressing against the bottom of the mm-hmm. desk. And I suddenly, you know, sense when someone's looking at you. I looked over the window, and I could see that guy looking at me, and he had this look on his face like, gotcha.
Mm.
And he ran back to the classroom and told everybody.
That's horrible.
Mike Curley goes back to second grade for reading. And I remember then returning back to class and everybody made fun of me. I mean, it was nonstop. And then you're retarded and then you're this and that. And then it wasn't. So then it was all of a sudden those kids graduated, went on to the next year. And I was still there. And eventually those second graders, they're like, hey, there's the guy. There's the giant that was with us 2 years ago.
There's the driver.
Exactly. And thank you, Sean. You're so sensitive. So that's but when I got bigger, then I do know what it is. I mean, it's a weird nothing like this kid. Nothing that people that I know kids that are really, really, really bullied. It's weird that you didn't have any experience.
I don't really.
I assume Sean did.
What, got bullied?
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Did you ever feel so mad that you wanted to like hurt somebody in some way?
No, I never. Well, I mean, I never thought about shooting and killing anybody.
No,
but I mean, I just sort of dealt with it.
Took it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you mm-hmm. think that part of this is copycat stuff? Because today in Michigan, they said over 60 schools closed down because of threats. So it seems like these things do happen in you know patterns like this, where there's one and then there's another, and it probably based on the era that you were in. It didn't occur to you that that would be something that you would do. And now these kids have had so much. They've been inundated with school shootings their entire school careers. And so maybe that is what they think is the go-to.
Right.
Whereas you didn't. That wasn't something even though you were
there was no
brutalized.
Columbine. We didn't have experience that
right,
sort of
yeah.
thing. The weird part of whether it's this or suicides, that is one of the biggest things. When a suicide happens in high school, every other high school, all high schools, all of a sudden do this amazing amount of intervention into these kids' lives because they realize once it trips, mm-hmm. He did it, and then it says, then I'm going to do it. So the same thing you often see when it comes to mass shooting, whether it's in school or other places, that they're clustered. So you can see somebody go into a mall and shoot 10 people randomly. They say within a couple of days, if not the next day or within the next week, there'll be another one and another one and another one. So they sort of – they pop up, they happen, and then they die back down again, and then they pick back up again. But no, I used to get back at kids in other ways, but certainly nothing that horrible, but, you know, just mostly involving things that smelled. I won't go into greater detail than that.
Okay. But no flying urine.
Not then.
Okay.
It wasn't until I got older and more mature that I came up with that idea. Yeah.
Well, they deserved it. Whatever you gave them, they deserved it.
I don't know about that.
They did.
It was pretty terrible. Hoo-ah. Now my mind. It's so funny, you know, you say and you think about it and you try to like not think about it and then you keep thinking about all the. Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us. Thank you. Here we go. Kiel Mortgage 1-888-7-7-8 KIEL. That's Kiel Mortgage, the best in the business. Anything having to do with the mortgage, it's Kiel Mortgage. All right. Big announcement. Here we go. You ever been through one of these before? Jerry? Put your microphone on. Be a broadcaster. Can't hear her. Are you there?
I'm here,
okay.
Yeah.
It is time, Sherry, for the show's big announcement.
Okay. Tom's gone.
No.
Different one?
Another one.
Okay.
The Seahawks code word.
Ooh, that is big.
And the code word is...
Do you want me to say it?
Take the music out.
The code word is pass. P-A-S-S.
To enter... And to win four tickets to see the Seahawks and the curvature of the earth as they take on the Chicago Bears. December 26th. Remember, the code word expires at 11:59 p.m. You want to get in the last minute there. Tonight, you'll have another chance to enter tomorrow at 8 a.m. Seattle's Morning News. Of course, details and rules are at MyNorthwest.com. And again, the secret code word is...
The secret code word is pass, and you go to MyNorthwest.com/win to enter.
We find by having Jacob do it cold and raw, as they say, really adds sort of a sense of an element of humor.
Right.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
All righty. San Jose approves the license plate reader because of all the smash and grab. You've probably been watching the smash and grab, which is really interesting because now that Twitter has come up with this new rule, which is you cannot take video of people, private people, doing things without getting their consent. So all the video you see of everybody running in, not just the closed circuit camera stuff, but people have been taking video of people coming out of the store with a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
I guess you wouldn't be able to put them up on Twitter either. So as the smash and grab goes on, they're going to do this thing with these license plates reader to try to catch these guys. Here's KPIX. Hold on.
In the wake of a particularly rough month for malls and stores in San Jose, where organized criminals ransacked businesses, the city is ready to double down on these license plate readers.
And how they can be allocated for the purchase of license plate readers.
The city is looking at spending $250,000 to lease license plate readers, storage, and software to enable SJPD to better deter and make arrests in armed smash mob burglaries and robberies, auto thefts, and drive-by shootings. Mayor Liccardo says the plate readers could make the crooks easier to spot.
Where culprits are attempting to evade the license plate readers, all the better, because that's a very clear warning when we see folks covering their license plates that those are drivers that should be pulled over. We have been using them here in the city of San Jose.
This is dumb.
It is.
Do you see
dumb.
The problem?
Yeah, there's lots of problems.
Because I'm not the brightest person, right?
I wouldn't say
come
that.
On, right?
No, no, you're very bright.
Trick question.
Okay.
You go to do the smash and grab.
Yeah.
Someone's in charge. Put Lenny in charge of covering up the license plate. You run in, you smash and grab, you drive away, you pull the thing off. And the little reader, doesn't follow you, right? It's just, where's the reader? On a telephone pole or something?
Yeah, it's actually mounted like on a building or something like that. And they sort of admitted that this really hasn't been all that effective. But what they're saying is that when you see someone trying to avoid this, like they're covering their license plate,
yes,
that's a reason to pull them over.
But no, but...
Hey, they've been used successfully.
Yeah, but they're gonna you go in, you smash, right?
Right.
You grab everything.
Yeah.
You got that. You put Steve or Doug or whatever in charge of the license plate, cover it up.
Right.
That's your only job.
Okay.
Then you get in the car and you drive away. And then you pull over the side of the road and Doug goes out and takes the thing off the back of the plate. And then you take off without him.
Unless you get caught running away and there's still something on the license plate and you forget it.
All right,
here. The question is, are they being used enough? And I think we can certainly use them more.
SJPD has used them on several patrol units in the past several years. The Electronic Frontier Foundation conducted research and found in San Jose, 1.6 million plates were scanned and stored in 2020. Of those, about 1,500 led to a successful match. That's a 0.089% success rate.
You know, you hear that they're going to be spending $250,000 on license plate readers. I'm like, It's not a great use of money.
Dave Moss at the EFF led that research and says the plate reader databases have been abused across the country and even led to expensive lawsuits when incorrect matches led to wrongful arrests. Moss does not think they'll work to stop these smash mob style thieves.
And I think when you have clever criminals like that, license plate readers are not going to deter them. I think that if any of your viewers think about license plate readers for more than 5 minutes, they will think about a way that you can get around.
It took me a lot less than that, didn't it, huh?
Yeah, really. You were
those
like
TV,
30 seconds.
Radio. It's much smarter.
Because license plate readers are very good at capturing information on innocent people, but maybe not so good at capturing information on people who are willing to break the law.
Okay. You know, can I just be my father for one moment?
Yeah, I'd like you to do that.
This is, if my dad were still alive, it would sound something like this as far as my father is concerned. He would do this. He would say, hey, you know what you need to do? Just shoot one of those guys. Now, it was the mayor of Chicago that said the same thing. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Shoot the protesters. You remember that? Yeah. This was in the 1960s. The mayor of Chicago, Daley, said,
oh, okay.
Shoot them. Shoot a few of them, and that'll teach him a lesson, and that'll stop all the problems, mm-hmm. Okay? And, you know, I could say, because my father's not here anymore, my dad's that old school thing where you do shoot people, but the idea is that, like, to stop the looters that are doing it, they would just, and I'm sure there's people out there go, yeah, shoot one or two of them, and you realize then the word would get out, because you can run into those stores and just take whatever you want.
But I think that the cops are completely outnumbered, right? I mean, we're talking 50 people sometimes are doing this. So how are they going to only shoot one person?
I wouldn't have a cop do it.
Oh, well.
Somebody like my dad.
Okay. So you want just a random person that's standing by to go ahead and shoot somebody.
Shoot one or two of them.
And then you're hoping the psychology is the next group says, boy, there could be a random person standing by to shoot one of us
Go. There you go.
Okay. Okay.
Again, this is not me. I'm speaking like an 85, 86-year-old man that's passed away a couple years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Steve Ducey wanted to know about the smash and grab.
Does the president still think that crime is up because of the pandemic?
I think many people have conveyed that, and also root causes of crime in communities is guns and gun violence. And we
okay, the root cause of crime is guns. Okay,
we've seen that statistically around the country.
So Vermont has one of the highest gun per capita ratios. Mm-hmm. And one of the lowest crime rates. And so does Wyoming. And so does Montana. So guns per capita, guns are not the reason that the crime is there. Because if it was guns alone, Vermont would be just this place. You couldn't go anywhere without somebody shooting and killing you.
Correct.
To your point, so when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes.
Okay.
So it's the root causes which now, Jen? Is it the guns or is it the pandemic? Because you just identified two different things as being the root cause.
Well, there's two different roots that are going. It's a very complicated root structure.
Okay.
If you're those stores, you just feel horrible.
Oh, I can't imagine. And you're just sort of waiting for it to happen in your neck of the woods, right? I mean, this is happening now a lot in California, but it's going to start to, you know, move everywhere.
I saw this guy, these two people running out of Home Depot, just piling all this stuff into their car, right?
Yeah.
So the guy's standing there watching, and he's got a cart. And I guess he just figures, well, I got to do something. So as the one car takes off, the second car is there. Tracy Taylor, we're talking about cars, so it's okay, we can have this. And as the second car goes to take off, the guy decides, well, I'm gonna do something. So he pushes his cart in front of the car. Mm. The car hits the cart, and the cart flies up and hits the guy.
Oh, right? No good deed.
No good deed. And then he shoots the person. All right. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us. All righty. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Come on in, everybody. The 1-888-973-5476. The name of the show is the John and Sherry Show. Well, that sucks. Who came up with that, Jacob?
No, it's the John Curley and Sherry Show.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Sherry didn't know the last name for her. She's like, Cher.
Yeah.
Well, it's already so close. You should have just gone with John Curley.
Just bring Sully back in to fill the last 8 minutes. All right. Let's see. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Do love to hear from you. Come on in. This is one of these things where I have known this for a long time, that Seattle is not the number one coffee city.
Well, it should be. I mean, you knew this. Why? Because you just didn't agree with it? Or
no,
what?
I remember looking it up for some reason. I didn't want to say something on the air that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you have no history of the fact that I say a lot of things on the air that aren't true. So that's why you didn't get the joke. Jacob over there got it. All right. So I think is it Minneapolis?
Minneapolis?
Isn't that number one? It's like someplace in Minnesota I thought was the number one. Or Wisconsin. It's one of these mid-state things.
No, Portland and San Francisco.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Yes.
Don't say anything that isn't true. Yes. So there's a couple of different websites that did these surveys about coffee, right?
Yes.
And so everybody thinks Seattle's going to be number one all the time. Well, a couple of them came out and said, not so fast. This one, Wallet Hub, said Portland and San Francisco were the number two. And then there's another one called Lazy Trips. That one, Seattle didn't even make the list at all.
Yeah.
But most of the time, Seattle does come at the top of the, top of the food chain, but a couple of them know. And so this is an article in the Seattle Times about whether or not it really matters anymore. You know, Seattle is so identified with coffee,
yeah,
and they take so much pride in being the number one coffee city. Does it psychologically matter that now it's moved down a couple of notches in rank?
Do any of these things matter? Whenever we go to do like list stories, yeah, top 10 things that people are going to do for the New Year's, I'm like, no, we're not doing top 5 movies. No, I hate all those list things. The weird thing is, why does a city care if they're number one about something? Do you drink more coffee because you're like, have a second cup. We got to stay at number one.
Right. Well, the psychologist that was interviewed said that it's sort of like having a sports team, right? Uh-huh. Where you want to take pride in something. I know that when I lived in Baltimore made the top of every bad list there was. It was the STD capital. It was the murder capital.
Yeah, hey, take that condom off. What are you doing? We've fallen down to number three.
And there was some sort of bizarre pride in being the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And so everybody would be like, yay, we made another list. Worst place to live. Yay.
Right. Yeah.
So I think this is just an example of people wanting to take pride in a thing that, Seattle's been known for so many years.
I know, but once you get the reputations, no one's going to be coming along and saying, it's not Seattle, it's Portland.
Well,
it's the biggest cliche you tell people who live in Seattle. Go back home, Philadelphia. Where are you living now, Seattle? Hey, you got your coffee there? Like, oh my God. Yeah, we got coffee. Yeah, you guys drink a lot of coffee there, don't you? You're like, yeah, drink coffee. Yeah, you gotta go, have some coffee. So it's like coffee, rain,
yeah,
and Pearl Jam.
Right.
You're like, uh-huh. Hey, we're Sleepless in Seattle. Tom Hanks out there? You're like, oh my God. And I remember one time I went back home and somebody said, dude, you guys are like near like Eskimos and stuff, right? Like stuff was changed that word to the other S word. I'm like, Eskimos? Yeah, like, do people live in igloos out there? Like, what? Understanding of like where Seattle was?
Sure.
You ever get that?
Well, I think people have a really bad sense of geography anyway.
Yeah.
I think most people don't really know where places are. They kind of know it's in the West, but they don't know surrounding states. Like,
yeah,
they don't know what states border other states,
right,
usually. So that doesn't surprise me.
Right. So once they get past the Mississippi, they assume there's people living in igloos somewhere out there.
Out there, right? Because igloos are so common in the Northwest.
Oh, my God. I mean, this... It was so dumb. I didn't want to say it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave him with that and let him believe people live in igloos.
Well, he probably went on to say, hey, I met a guy the other day who's lived in Seattle. He was telling me about the igloos. Like, he probably said you confirmed it by not telling him that's not true.
So when you're living in an igloo and you spill some of that coffee, does it melt the wall? Yep. And then Pearl Jam comes over and fixes it.